The number one job of any parent is to look out for their kids.
Sometimes mom doesn't let me use my tablet.
Well, that is part of looking out for you. Your parents want to make sure you're safe while you're having fun.
I guess.
That's what we want too. We're Lingo Kids, and we're here to help parents out. Lingo Kids is the number one entertainment platform for young kids because kids love it and parents can trust it.
What's it got?
Lingo Kids has lots of fun stuff that parents can feel good about, like songs and shows, plus activities featuring beloved Disney characters from Disney's Moana, Frozen, and more.
I love Disney stories.
Who doesn't? Lingo Kids has over 1 million daily users, so it looks like a lot of people love it already. Plus, when your parents download the Lingo Kids app, they can get a one-week free trial.
Lingo Kids!
Everything kids love. Download the app for free.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Friday morning. And Joe, we just heard from Shane Bowen and Arthur Smith of the Titans. Anything in particular stand out to you from those two?
Shout out to my guy Luke Worsham for the toss sweep
that was a
question.
Nice,
that was an
back
interesting
and forth
interaction. By the way, I went and talked to Belmont class last year, Greg Sage's Belmont class, and Luke's in the front row. I'm like, I thought you were like 28, dude. You're a college student?
Wow.
Yeah, Luke Worsham.
You know, you can be a college student at 28.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I don't think he – I think he's like 20.
Yes.
But, yes. But I think the point there from Arthur was, you know, he's asking scheme. I'm assuming basically some of those toss plays are zone scheme. Some of them are gap plays. This year when he's had a toss – whichever it is, it, you know, it hasn't worked out. To Arthur Smith's point there, last year they had some big plays on tosses. And, yeah, he brought up the Jonnu Smith one, which I thought was so creative. And, boy, that was another example of why you don't want to try to tackle Jonnu Smith. But I don't have a lot of takeaways. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. You know. I mean, it's a lot of the standard stuff, but
what about from Bowen and all the COVID stuff that
talked about? Yeah, I mean, that was obviously it's great that he's feeling better. He didn't have much of a problem with it. He said a couple days of chills and the cough, but he never had trouble breathing or anything like that. And you know, it sounds like he was very. I think with both guys, the questions about you know dealing with this situation. Obviously, they're very equipped to do so. You know, they. I mean, it's. And even before this, and probably after this too, by the way, remotely working probably is going to – you're going to see more of that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, you know, but Shane Bowen was involved in the planning and all that for Buffalo and everything from home. And a lot of people pitching in, different coaches. I mean, again, we saw Mike Vrabel – before the game, doing the DB, throwing to the DBs. You know, now Vrabel likes getting in all that stuff anyway, but they had to do a lot of moving people around, and that can't be just a snap of your fingers easy. So it's another one of those things that they overcame and got the job done.
What do you think the formula is for the Titans offensively against Houston this week? We had Aaron Reese from The Athletic on yesterday, covers the Texans, and just pointed out defensively, I mean, it's not been a good start to the year. For the Texans, they've been vulnerable against the run. You heard me in Call Your Shot Friday. I predicted a breakout performance from Derrick Henry. I think he's going to pop a run of 50-plus yards for a touchdown. We hadn't seen the big one yet in the running game. I think it'll be there on Sunday. What's the formula for the Titans offense to keep their role going and be successful against Houston?
Yeah, I mean, the Titans offense, I think they're going to have a similar formula. You're going to have a lot of success. Speaking of Aaron Reese, he and I did a little preview Q&A on this game, and he definitely, as we talked about earlier in the show, is more down on the Texans' chances than I am. But you know they have really bad rush defense numbers this year, advanced stats too, as he points out in some of those. Bernardrick McKinney out. You know, Zach Cunningham has been a terrific player, the Vanderbilt alum. For them, but they have struggled to stop the run. So I think against teams that do or don't struggle to stop the run, the Titans are going to run the football. So I think it's getting to the point where Derrick Henry's got to pop one. I like that called shot a lot. And I think if you get that, You love the way things are operating with the passing game right now. Three sacks allowed this year. We've talked about J.J. Watt. He's still good, okay? But he's not J.J. Watt, vintage J.J. Watt.
Not going up against Will Svitek either.
That's right. So the offense, I like that matchup a lot. I mean, I think the Texans are gonna have to take some gambles and hope they get a tip pass and get some turnovers. The Titans aren't turning it over. You know, right now they're just really efficient and rock solid on offense. They're going to score a lot of points Sunday.
Ooh, what's a lot?
Well, I mean, I think they're going to exceed 30.
Okay,
you know, I mean that's what they do. So if they don't hit 30 against this defense, then to me that's an upset at this point.
Wow, think about how far the Titans offense has come.
I know, it is crazy to think that
30 points is an upset. I agree though. Look, that's how well they've been playing offensively, and I thought if there was going to be a game where they didn't do that, it was going to be against Buffalo, given all the circumstances and everything around it. Scored 42.
Right.
So they're looking really good offensively right now. We talked yesterday about what a weapon Jonnu Smith has become for this group. It just, you know, we were talking earlier, there's not really a weakness you can think of right now on the offense. The running game, it's not where we thought it could be and still think it can be. But I wouldn't classify it as struggling at this point either.
No, I wouldn't either. But yeah, they could use a big one, and they'll get one soon from Derrick Henry. Humphreys comes back, so that's a really nice addition. Actually, you know, Cam Batson is back on the practice squad. That'll be interesting too. You know, we saw Hollister and Westbrook Akine out there on the field. Does Batson get bumped up and replace one of them? That was the choice earlier this season. And that would be, again, a Smurfy-looking receiver core, but those guys make plays. And Khalif Raymond, again, didn't have a lot of chances the other night, but you get the big return, you get the huge third 19 catch over the middle. You know, I mean, basically they're going to – you asked the question about Corey Davis. I didn't even think about that. I guess if he were to be activated today – Is it possible he would play Sunday? I'd be really surprised, though.
When we come back, we'll talk to our good man, David Ubben from The Athletic. It's a program game. Joe Rexroad has called it for the Vols tomorrow against Kentucky. We'll break that down next. This is Robbie and Rexroad on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. A big game for the Vols tomorrow. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not much. Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So an intriguing matchup tomorrow for the Vols against Kentucky, a team that really, when you look at it, very easily could be 3-0. They're not. They're 1-2. But what do you make of this matchup tomorrow for the Vols against the Wildcats?
Well, I suppose you can't let Georgia beat you twice, as they say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is one of those games where, you know, this is sort of where Tennessee's at as a program is you might not be to the point where you can go beat Georgia, but you've got to beat the Kentuckys, you've got to beat the Vanderbilts, the Missouris, the South Carolinas. You've got to beat them all the time. That's sort of step one. And, you know, for all of the X's and O's and all that stuff, you know, Tennessee has exercised some dominance over Kentucky, even as the program has floundered, and this is just a game that you've got to win. You know, the thing about trying to build a program is there's a lot of games where there's not much to gain and there's a lot to lose, and that's one of these games for Tennessee. If they win, you know, nobody's going to be patting them on the back, but you lose, you know, the sky's falling. So tough spot to be in, but if you want to be a great program, you know, these are the games you got to get used to.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did say earlier on the show, I called this a program game because this is, like you said, David, one, you can't let Georgia linger. But also, last year they finally beat the East teams that they need to beat every year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was 1 year of doing it, right? I mean, to me, this is...
Yeah, you got to do it every year.
And this is, I honestly think that Kentucky football last few years has been one of the most impressive jobs of program building I've seen in this sport. And I know that's a big statement, but I would not have guessed that Kentucky could get to this level of recruiting and sort of reliable, consistent winning that they're at. That said, I still like the Vols in this matchup. But what about that? What about the job Stoops has done and that program? And are they close to their ceiling right now, do you think?
I don't know about maybe close to it, but that's sort of the toughest thing about games like these is Kentucky is not a pushover. Good program, good players, you know, well coached, all of those things that, you know, those platitudes are true with this team, and Tennessee has to play well. I mean, it is a little bit similar to the South Carolina game in that if, you know, you lose the turnover battle, you don't play up to your potential, Tennessee's going to lose this game. And so, these are the kind of games where there's quite a bit of pressure, and I think, Kentucky is what Kentucky is. You know, they're going to want to run the ball at you. You're going to have to account for the quarterback in the run game. You know, Terry Wilson is the guy who can make a lot of plays. Tennessee really locked them down in 2018. Jerry Pruitt had a lot of success with mobile quarterbacks. But, you know, again, you got to take care of business. These are the games that are going to be pretty interesting, especially in a time now where, you know, you can't show up to the stadium and there's not going to be a lot of folks lifting you up. You know, you got to bring your own energy. These atmospheres are a little muted. So it's an interesting challenge ahead of Tennessee because they haven't played a lot of games like this under Jeremy Pruitt. We haven't seen them in this position a lot of the time. They've been trying to climb. Well, there's no rung that you get to climb by winning this game. This is sort of a, you know, don't fall down.
David Oven from The Athletic on with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, obviously a lot of people pointing the finger after the Georgia game at the Tennessee offensive line, and certainly, especially in pass protection, they had their warts. But Eric Gray and Ty Chandler in the backfield, what did you make of their pass protection in that game? And have you noticed that has been an issue for Eric Gray and Ty Chandler over the course of the last season or so?
Yeah, neither one of them are great at it. I mean, I think at times last year Gray was a liability. I don't think I'd call him a liability right now, but neither one of those guys really excel there, I don't think. Tim Jordan, guys dismissed, you know, he was probably better than both of those guys. In that respect, and that was a big reason why we saw him a lot on third downs. Obviously, he's not there. They've got to improve it. You know, that's a huge part of one, being a great running back, and two, making money at the next level. So I think those guys are serious about it. They want to get better. But at this point, you know, that sack fumble Monty Rice made against Georgia that really sort of put the dagger in Tennessee. I mean, that game was over, but that was sort of the exclamation point. I mean, Eric Gray's got to be better in pass protection. You know, they split the left tackle and left guard there, and Gray couldn't really stop Rice. He kind of ran right through him and made a huge play.
Well, let's stick with the running backs, David. I on the record, is not really liking Jim Chaney's plan and play calling in that game. I also thought going in, it would be key for one of those two guys to maybe, you know, to emerge. And it's hard to do if you're not running it and you're not having any success running it. But do you think that it's going to be a share situation all year with them? Or do you think maybe Gray at some point does emerge as the primary guy? And should he emerge, do you think?
I think he will. But we haven't really seen that yet. We've seen a lot of Ty Chandler, you know, Eric Gray. For all the talk of Chandler in the passing game, it was great collecting checkdowns last week. I mean, 8 catches. I don't know how many of those were for him. You know, it was a lot of checkdowns, all those kind of things. But, you know, I think they've got to sort of show that they deserve that, and we haven't really seen the Eric Gray that we saw in the Gator Bowl or the Eric Gray that we saw against Vanderbilt yet. I think that guy is in there. Part of it is maybe the competition that they've played. I mean, they've played some pretty good teams so far, and that's part of it. But, I think if I had to bet on it, you know, I think we'll probably see Gray take that spot by the end of the year where he's leaned on a little bit more. But Chandler's played a lot of football, at this point, it's a pretty even timeshare.
David Oven from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, Josh Palmer, to me, has been a bit of a revelation. I knew he was a good wide receiver, a good player for this Tennessee team. I came away from the Georgia game thinking Josh Palmer is absolutely an NFL-quality wide receiver. Am I crazy for that? Do you believe that? What do you make of Josh Palmer so far?
No, I think he looked like it last year, honestly. But he, there wasn't that many opportunities, that many targets. And now you know, they needed him to step up. They need him to be the number one guy, and he has been every bit of that so far. You know, he's reliable every game. Obviously, against Georgia, the two plays that he made were gigantic. I mean, the only two offensive touchdowns, and those plays were what, you know, the jump ball was like 80%. Josh Palmer just making an unbelievable play. The second one, a fantastic throw from Garantano, but, you know, not a whole lot of receivers that make that grab in college football, certainly less than half. That was a great catch. So, yeah, I think, you know, there's nothing really that he leaves you wanting. You know, great route runner, obviously can really make a ton of contested catches, which is really important, especially in the SEC. We're going to be facing, you know, you play elite teams, facing a lot of man defense. So, yeah, he can get open, good speed, good size, contested catches. I mean, I think he's got some money to make this year for sure.
See, I like when you come on, David, because I can promote your stories. I am always promoting myself here. But, man, you have an awesome story today. You talked to Casey Pruitt, Jeremy Pruitt's wife, about the end zone cutouts. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that story? You know, tease it just enough, David.
Well, yeah, if Tennessee fans didn't notice, you know, in the north end zone where the recruiting section is, obviously recruiting is shut down this year. And they've got cutouts, but these are not sort of cutouts that fans have bought. They're cutouts of kids in the Children's Hospital who Tennessee, you know, would host for games before. And this has sort of been a pet project for Casey Pruitt for quite some time, and something that she's really passionate about because, you know, for the Pruitt family, it's pretty personal to them and a big part of you know, what they want to do to reach out to their community. So, a very cool thing, and I hope folks can check out that story. Is that a tease? Is that a good enough
tease? That was good
for you?
Perfect. You struck the balance perfectly. Just like, you know, with banana pudding, you know, it's just not the best, right?
We're gonna give you a peek over. We're gonna give you a peek over the paywall, but we're not gonna let you totally behind it. You got to subscribe for the good stuff.
Very nice. Great stuff there from David Ubben from The Athletic. He's been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. David, appreciate you joining us as always, my friend. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
See you tomorrow.
When we come back, Joe, it's that time of the week. Time for some pigskin pick'em. I feel pretty good about my picks this week, so we'll see if I can close the gap even tighter. That
it's
coming
tight.
Up next. But first, week 6 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is now open. Make your picks of the 3 college or pro football underdogs that you think will win starting every Thursday and before the college games begin on Saturday. This week, the weekly winner will receive a 10-roof gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's that time of the week, Pigskin Pick'ems, here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're picking against the spread, both in the NFL and in college football. And I'll give you a quick update of the standings. Joe, with a 9-6 record, 10 points on the season. Robbie, which is me, 7-8 on the season, 9 points. Munson had a rough week last week, 5-10, 6 points, but all still within grasp of each other. The lock in play gets an extra point each week. So without further ado, boys, it's time to pick. We'll start with the Vols against Kentucky. Tennessee, a 6-point favorite at home against the Kentucky Wildcats. Munson, you go first. Who you got in that game?
Why do I got to go first? I'm at the bottom. I shouldn't have to go first.
We all switch it up.
I'll go first if you don't want to go first.
No, I'll go first. I'll take the Vols in this one. I think after that, like, there's bricks of like this Vols team being really good last week.
Yeah.
But then there's also back to the same old Vols that we saw in the first two games of last year in the second half of that game. I think this Vols team has figured it out. I think their defense is good. I think their offense still needs a little work with Garantano, but nonetheless, I will go Vols with the -6.
I'm going second, Joe. Don't you just jump in.
All right. Yeah,
you
do
just,
it.
You were going to
do it.
I saw it. Look, I think this game is going to be close. I think it's going to be close really throughout. And then I think Tennessee's offensive line, they're going to respond in a big way this week. I just think it's going to be too much for Kentucky at the end of the day. I think you're going to see a heavy emphasis out of Tennessee to run the ball, very similar to the way they did against Missouri. Tennessee pulls away in the fourth quarter. Give me the Vols -6 against Kentucky.
I agree. I think, you know, they end up winning by about 10. Good competitive game. Kentucky, you know, has a credible defense for sure, but I do think the Vols will have a lot more. I mean, you go from Georgia to anyone, and you're probably feeling better about things. They'll run it way better. They'll end up winning by about 10 in cover.
So, obviously, we do not have a Vanderbilt game to pick this week. Vanderbilt in Missouri has been postponed. That game moved off to December the 12th. So, I think the next consensus game that we can jump to in this competition, Alabama and Georgia. Alabama minus 4.5 at home against Georgia. I'm going to start in this game. I've had a feeling all week, and this is not really anything to do with the Nick Saban news that's come out as well. I just really like Georgia. And not only do I like Georgia to cover this spread, I like Georgia to win this game outright. Give me the Bulldogs on the road winning against Alabama.
Ooh, that's a shot.
That's a shot.
That's a little bit of a shot.
Joe?
All right, I feel the other way on this one. And, you know, the Saban thing is, if not for Nick Saban having COVID-19, I'd feel stronger about this because there are some moments that Steve Sarkisian's going to have to make some calls, although I really, really would love to know how Nick Saban's going to handle just sitting there. There's got to be some.
There's got to be a camera somewhere, right?
Hit the button, beep. You know, Sark, you do this, you know. But I just think, Bama, that defense was humbled by Ole Miss, and it's not that bad. And this matchup is way better. I will say that I love Georgia, but whenever the Vols got any pressure on Stetson Bennett last week, he looked a little bit more like a 5'10 walk-on and a little bit less like, you know, a future NFL quarterback. I think that they will thrive against that kind of attack. I don't think they're going to score crazy because that Georgia defense is fantastic, but I think Bama ends up winning by a touchdown. So I will take Bama and give the 4.5.
Munson?
I will also take Alabama. Look, I think, and I agree with Joe, like when you put pressure on Georgia, they fold. I don't look at this offense as a dynamic offense that scored last week against Ole Miss. Now, mind you, a lot of that has to do with the play caller, which is Lane Kiffin. And obviously, Lane Kiffin likes to do Lane Kiffin things and score a lot of points and don't play defense. I think this Alabama defense will play better this week. I think Najee Harris will have a big game in this game, in the running game. And also, Jaylen Waddle, who's going to guard that guy? I don't know. This guy's going to be open a lot. So I'll go Alabama also. It's going to be a close game, though. I do think it will be a touchdown or below game, but I'm going to go Alabama with the points. And that's also my lock.
Oh. Yeah! Ooh. Munson locking it in.
Okay.
Yeah, Alabama Crimson Tide.
And it's not because it's Alabama. It's because they're at home. I think we're making a big deal about Nick Saban not being there. And I think also this is a big moment for Steve Sarkisian. Let's not forget the fact that this guy has been a head coach before. And, you know, if it wasn't for personal life stuff getting in the way, he still would probably be at USC because he was pretty good at USC. And he was pretty good at Washington as well. And I think we forget the fact that this guy's record as far as a head coach is concerned, he's over 500. So when you look at him as an overall head coach. So I think we're making a big deal about Nick Saban not being there. I think obviously you want him there because greatest coach of college football, hands down. So, but I think we're making too much of that being the storyline, and I think Alabama does respond to it well.
Moving on to the NFL, the Titans at home against the Houston Texans, playing their second game of the week after their beatdown of the Buffalo Bills on Tuesday night. The Titans 3.5-point home favorites against the Houston Texans. Joe, you're up first. Who do you have in this one?
I'm on a bit of a roll with the Titans specifically, the Vikings. I picked the Vikings to cover, picked the Titans to cover against the Bills, and I'm flipping it back. I'm picking the Texans. I will take the Texans and 3.5 points. I think the Titans will win a very close game, but I think it's maybe another Gostkowski special to win it. I'm picking, in fact, I mean, I already picked today at the Athletic 34-31 Titans, so I will go ahead and take the 3.5 in the Texans.
Munson, who you got in that one?
I'm also going to do the same. I'm not going to call the shot of Deshaun Watson and them winning this game, but I do feel like everybody's hyped up about the Titans. They've won this game, and they did it in comfortable fashion against the Bills. I think this Texan team needs a win. I'm not going to say they're going to win, but they're going to get close. So I'll go Titans with the points.
You know, I've been very cognizant all week of kind of the emotional part of this game. You had a big win against the Bills. There is a lot on the line for the Texans in this game. And it kind of sets up to me, in between the Bills and the Steelers, if there's such a thing in the NFL as a trap game, it kind of sets up that way to me. But I just think the Titans offense, they're on a roll right now. I think they're playing so well. And I look at that Houston defense, it's just not very good. Give me the Titans and make it my lock of the week. I've got the Titans covering in this game. I feel good about it.
Man, this is good. We've got some real separation with the picks.
There could be a big standings difference next week when we get down to the core part of it. So now's the fun part. We get each get one college football game and one NFL game to pick on our own. We'll start with college football. Munson, you lead off. Who you got in college football?
Man, look, I have been bad at these college football picks, but I'm going to go Clemson. I'm going to go Clemson against Georgia Tech this week. Clemson minus 27. I think they could do that. I mean, it sounds pretty easy against Georgia Tech, right? You know, Trevor Lawrence going to have a big game. You know, Travis Etienne. You know, so let me go Clemson. I would have made that my lock, but I was like, I want to be able to sweat during my lock. Yeah. And I don't feel like I'll sweat during this game at all because I don't think Clemson will sweat on offense.
I like it.
I will go Clemson.
I'm going to stick to the ACC as well. And there was a line that jumped out to me this week that is just, it grabbed my attention. Florida State is awful. They are terrible. And they got destroyed by Miami. They are really bad. North Carolina is a 13.5-point favorite against Florida State. I think they double that up. They are going to destroy Florida State. Give me North Carolina minus 13.5 against Florida State.
All right, so what's our rule on that? Because that's my game, too.
You did it last week. You can pick it.
Yeah. I hate doing it, though, you know. It's like, but I really struggled with the college slate. Usually I find, you know, you can find a couple that you're like, although that hasn't gone well for me anyway recently, but
I was going to go.
I'm taking the same thing.
Yeah, at first I was going to go Ole Miss Arkansas, which is Ole Miss minus 2 in that game, and it's Arkansas at home after that loss against Auburn last week, so that could have been a good game too, but yeah, I'm still taking Clemson.
Now, Joe, you've still got your lock on the table, so are you comfortable going there? Or
nope, my lock is my NFL game.
Okay. Yep. Well, that in mind, the NFL game of the week, I'll lead us off on this. And there are a lot of options out there, and I typically hate doing this, but the Packers being 1-point favorite against Tampa Bay on the road, I realize it's on the road. I realize it's going to be pretty hot down there in Tampa Bay. We'll see how the Packers deal with that. I just think they're a lot better than the Bucs. Give me the Packers minus 1 on the road against Tampa. I think they cover that.
Yeah, I think that's I like that pick for sure.
I feel really good about it. I think they're going to win by like 10. But maybe that's just the homer in me talking there. Joe, you're up next. Who you got?
Yeah, so I'm looking at that Falcons-Vikings game, which, of course, I'm picking now because the Falcons have had the building open. So
looks like it's going to be on.
Now, we've seen teams disrupted that have played well just this week. We also wonder, I do, about the Vikings after blowing that game that their head coach said, hey, guys, how would you like to take a horrible L? Here you go. but I'm the Vikings minus 4, even without, you know, even with Madison having to play with Dalvin Cook out, I love that. I think that Vikings offense, Madison looked good last week. Cousins and that offense, I think that they will put a number on the Falcons. So give me the Vikings minus 4 as my lock.
Guaranteed. Lock of the week for Joe Rexroad. And Munson, you round us out with your NFL pick of the week. Who you got?
I'm going to go Browns and Steelers. I'm going to go Steelers minus the 3.5 at home against a Browns team that I think this Steelers defense is going to hound Baker Mayfield in this game. So I'm going to go the Steelers. I almost went the Lions.
Oh, man.
But I changed my mind.
I don't even remember who the heck
they
got
the Jags. How could you forget about the Lions and the Jags game?
Super Bowl preview.
Talk about some football there, man. I'm surprised. Like, this is the one opportunity you may have all year to pick the Lions to cover the spread in a game that they'll win, and you didn't take it.
Yeah.
I really thought you'd go that way.
When I disavow a team.
I mean, we don't know if they're going to win, though.
We don't know.
But yeah, I see you're a Browns non-believer, huh? I saw the Steelers get shredded by Carson Wentz and company last week.
I did, but I also saw Baker Mayfield throw two interceptions against the Colts last week, too.
Yeah.
If you make Baker Mayfield win the game, it's a rough spot to be. They got to run the ball pretty effectively.
Yeah. Now, it would help a lot if they had Chubb, but, Kareem Hunt still looks pretty good. That's an interesting game.
So we could have some separation this week. There was last week, there wasn't a whole lot of degree of different picks on the line. This week, we've gone off the table a little bit. This makes it more interesting. I like it.
Yeah. I will say that I thought a little bit about North Carolina, Florida State, because Florida State actually looked kind of good against Notre Dame. Yep. But I still end up picking it. But it's a tough week on the college front.
Yeah, it's usually there are about two or three games in a given week in college football that just jump off the page at you, and you're like, oh my goodness, how is the line that way? But not so much the case this week. Like I thought about going the way Munson did too and taking Clemson. But anytime the line gets up to -27.
Get that garbage TD late. Yeah, that's the problem.
That's tough to anticipate at that point. But I do think there's a solid chance Clemson covers there because
yeah,
they're very good. Georgia Tech, not very good at all. So there are our picks for the week in Pigskin Pick'em, and hopefully this time next week we come back and Robbie Stanley has distanced himself and overtaken Joe Rexroad for first place.
It's very possible. You're right there.
When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, give our final thoughts, looking ahead to the Titans and Texans game on Sunday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad on ESPN 102.5 The Game. During Big Night at the Museum, Modern Music Masters will hold history in their hands, playing timeless songs on some of country music's most treasured instruments. Premiering at 8 p.m. on October 28th, live on the Country Music Hall of Fame's YouTube channel, Big Night is a much-needed fundraiser for the museum and an unprecedented musical event. Subscribe at countrymusichalloffame.org/YouTube and tune in on October 28th. And some of the artists that will be performing include Kane Brown, Tim McGraw, Miranda Lambert, Brad Paisley, among many others. So make sure you're tuned in for that. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, as we look ahead, Titans putting their 4-0 record on the line this weekend against the Houston Texans. Four undefeated teams left in the NFL. The Green Bay Packers, Seattle Seahawks, Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Tennessee Titans. You've picked a close victory for the Titans, 34-31 against the Texans on Sunday. What do you think ultimately ends up being the difference in that game?
Well, I don't know where the Texans get a lot done against the Titans offense, and I could flip it around, and this is why I picked a game in the 30s both ways. It's another game where I like the offenses against the defenses. I think that's probably like most NFL games these days, unless the offense in question belongs to a New York team. But I just I buy into what Aaron Reese said and what others have said about this running game, and I think you're called shot on a long one for Derrick Henry. He's due for one. And this seems like a defense that might be willing to give him one. Not willing to, but might yield one to him. So I think the Titans will outscore the Texans. But there's a lot of things to worry about right now with the Titans defense. And I think some of them will get fixed or easily can get fixed. Some of them, I don't know. We got to see still if they can figure out a way to get pass rush without having to send every defensive back on the field on one drive as they did last week in a touchdown they gave up.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, I think Simmons is important for this game because you need the rush to come from up the middle and outside for Watson, and we need Jackson back for the Steelers game. How important is what Jeffrey Simmons is able to generate coming up the middle, particularly with a guy like Watson who can move around as well as he does?
Yeah, I mean, that's for sure. You know, the up-the-middle pressure, you get that real quick pressure, and maybe someone can get their hands on Deshaun Watson. There were a few plays the other night where we've talked about the one play. I mean, Josh Allen absolutely stood there. He wasn't even hopping around on his feet. He stood there, and there were four guys rushing, and they were just blocked, and he had no reason to move, and he finally just kind of tossed it over to T.J. Yeldon for a touchdown. Like, there's a play that if Jeffrey Simmons is on the field, it doesn't happen that way, because Jeffrey Simmons is going to win way before that, right? So there's some, certainly. I mean, certainly his play has not yet paid off in the overall rush defense, which was better the other night, but the Bills didn't really try to run. I mean? Like, that was just not. Right now, the Bills look at running the football as a total afterthought, like a lot of teams in the NFL. But Jeffrey Simmons should definitely make a difference. And can he get home or at least help someone else get there? It's just trying to keep Deshaun Watson in the pocket is very difficult.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text in, does Vrabel have the trait that Belichick has of using games to work on certain things at your weekend? I feel like Bill Belichick will sometimes do something that doesn't give him the absolute best chance to win, but doesn't really compromise the win either, just to make the team better and work on weaknesses for later in the year.
It sounds like an urban legend. I'm not saying it's not true, but I think in this league, you pour everything into winning every week or you don't win. He may be right. Maybe like that 07 team where they were so good that he was like, you know what, this week,
let's see if we can't get better on run defense.
We're working outside zone and just see if we can get better at that. Like, I don't know if that's really true.
And then if it doesn't work, we'll just chuck it up in the air to Randy Moss and see if he can catch it.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's – I think Vrabel would tell you you find every little thing, uncover every rock every week or you won't win.
Yeah, I think that's exactly
what there's obviously some weeks when you play the Jets and then you probably could. But this is not a week to – let's work on something. This is not at all that week.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Braves haven't won a World Series since 1995, the year I was born. Today for my birthday, the Braves will clinch and move on to the World Series. It is an exciting time right now to be an Atlanta Braves fan, but I tweeted this out the other night. If you have watched an Atlanta sports team for any length of time whatsoever, you are scarred. And yeah, you are... I don't have to really tell you this if you're a Braves fan, but you've seen some things over the years, whether it's the Braves, the Falcons, everybody thinks back to the Super Bowl. I mean, heck, even Georgia, the Georgia Bulldogs fans that cross over as Braves fans too. This one's not over. I know it's looking really good for the Braves right now. It is not over.
Yeah, I'm adopting the Braves here, and it would be cool to see. They had so many great teams. I used to really like all those teams in the early 90s. In the 80s, they were on TBS all the time. So, like, the Braves and the Cubs on WGN. You know, a lot of people all over the country watch those teams. The Braves had all those bad teams with, like, Dale Murphy was great, but they were bad. Then you get the Glavin, Smoltz, Avery teams. And
Maddox.
You get Maddox. I mean, and there should be more championships for that entire era. But it's been a pretty amazing era still of consistency. But I think this may be the year. Like you said, they mash, and great bullpen, and you get enough out of the starting pitching, and maybe this is it. Maybe this is a year for Braves fans. That would be fun. There are a lot of them around here.
But, Munson, I do give your Dodgers, I think they've got a chance to come back. Like, 3-1, I mean, it's a deficit, obviously. But baseball, I think it's a little bit easier to come back from that than other sports.
Look, man, I don't care. They do what they want to do, man, at this point. They've just been disappointing. Like, the team that I asked to win won, so that's what matters to me.
The Lakers, they got it done.
Like, the Dodgers winning is a bonus. But, I mean, look, every year, that's what people hype me up every year, and I never get hyped up. Everybody's like, oh, the Dodgers, this is going to be you guys' year. And I'm like, yeah, I'll see it when I believe it.
Yeah, I mean.
And sure enough, look, we're in a situation now. So, I do think they can come back from 3-1. I was going to make that my call shot that the Dodgers just completely ruin the Braves. And plus, like, Braves fans are so annoying.
Wow.
Like, they're annoying. Like, I know a lot of Braves fans. The ones that I know are annoying. So, the ones that I know are just terrible. Like, I saw some, like, really just stupid tweets, especially about Kershaw, and I'm just like, you guys are corny. 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 Candy corny. Like, I was just like, you guys don't deserve a championship. Like, this is the fan base. Like, you don't deserve it.
Braves fans, a lot of slander to the Braves fans. Stillman's been texting me about some question he thought I asked that was dumb, and I haven't gotten clarification, but maybe it's time for a little Stillman Munson face-off.
The Jared Stillman nightly report on Brian Snitker is interesting.
But see, that's what I mean. Like, there's fans like him. It's just like, they're annoying. Like, I'm just like, go away. Like, you know, people say that about Laker fans. I'm like, it depends on who you follow. Cause
Snoop.
Snoop.
Every fan base has a lot of annoying people.
But, like, look, I'm just like, look, the team that I wanted to win, when you guys asked me who would you rather win, Lakers or Dodgers, I'm pretty sure I said Lakers.
I don't even think it was really close. Yeah.
Well, it was a no-brainer. It was Lakers. And I got it. So, there you go.
There you go.
And then
Fire Dave Roberts.
Well, can they come all the way back? They were down 3-0. They've won two games in a row against Tampa Bay. Can they come all the way back and really shove it to the rest of the MLB?
To the world.
A lot of people would not be happy to see that.
Houston Astros 2020 champs actually is perfect. Because everything that's attached to the numbers 2020, you know, will be
not be remembered well.
So it'd be perfect for the Astros to win it all now.
There's a whole lot of Tampa Bay Rays fans out there right now.
My grandma, that's her number two team. Hey. She's a Tigers fan, but boy, she's getting nervous, man.
Yeah, I'd be getting nervous too. Well, we'll see if the Titans can get the job done this weekend and improve to 5-0. Big game coming up against the Texans. Big weekend in college football as well. We'll be back on Monday to talk about it all, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Robbie and Rex Road. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Are you a parent who feels guilty about screen time?
No.
Well, no, not you, sweetheart. But your mommy and daddy do.
Why?
Because too many apps are filled with AI garbage, inappropriate videos, and random content.
Like a dancing potato!
Or worse. That's what parents worry about. We're Lingo Kids, and we're here to help parents out. Lingo Kids is the number one entertainment platform for young kids because kids love it and parents can trust it. They want something safe
and fun.
Yes, fun, but also something that actually teaches you.
Big words like FOMOsynthesis. FOMOsynthesis. FOMOsynthesis.
Yeah, close enough. And they want fun songs, videos, and interactive games that help you grow, not turn you into
a zombie that bites other zombies, and then the zombies take over the world, and then fly to space and live on the moon, and fly in rocket ships on planets with loads of candy.
Yep.
Lingo Kids!
Everything kids love,